The story of Ruth is about a stranger in a strange land. And we have come to the concluding chapter of this theme for this book of Ruth, Under His Wings, when she took the step of faith to believe in the God of Israel. She experienced the power of God leading and guiding her in her life. She was the stranger in a strange land. And she, in this chapter, we would see how she would be taken care of by someone who was willing to pay the price for her safety and well-being. Someone who is willing to make a sacrifice of his own, willingly to become the kinsman redeemer. Boaz was that close relative who volunteered to pay this price even though he did not have to. And it is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who freely gave himself to save us. He was the Son of God. He had everything with him in perfect fellowship with the Father and the Spirit from all eternity, from eternity past, that fullness of joy in that fellowship of the Godhead at that time when, you know, he was sent by the Father. He gave up that the external manifestation of his glory and that union that he had, right, to come on earth, this earth, to be born, you know, of a human parent and to be raised in a humble home in order to be that sacrificial lamb to die on the cross. It is a great picture of selflessness that we want us to see today as we look at how Boaz would be that person to take that step to redeem Ruth. And we see how that marriage that would take place between Boaz and Ruth would fulfill the plan of God to bring forth David, the king of Israel, and later on, our Lord Jesus Christ himself. This book begins with a famine, but it ends with a blessing. God's love for Naomi, her willingness to obey God's word, were the source of joy and blessing. And we see here the fruition of that step of faith that she took when she uprooted herself to come to Israel. Two thoughts. The Redeemer's wisdom, verses 1 to 12, and the Redeemer's worth or the Redeemer's work, verses 6 to 12, verses 1 to 5 and 6 to 12. It was a peak season of harvesting when Boaz, having made that agreement with Ruth on that night when Ruth visited her for the marriage proposal, to do this work of redemption. He had to put aside everything, to drop everything that he was doing. Right? You know, the harvest time is a most precious time, because every time you lose, well, you lose time picking up the harvest, and you know it is money and cost, right, to the family and to himself. But he was willing, you see, to make that step and to do so, and that led him, okay, to the gate of the city. Verse 1 says, then went Boaz up the gate and set him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. He went to the gate of the city. It was there where business and judgment are carried out. And he followed the procedure very carefully to ensure that in the process nothing was jeopardized. Indeed, you see, God was helping him. And, you know, verse 1, the second part tells us that there came the nearer kinsman. Right? He said that he was not that the nearest kinsman. There is someone nearer than him. And if that person is willing to redeem the inheritance, then it goes all goes to him. All right, so when he was at the gate, and there he set himself to this work, then the Lord led this man to come. And so he stopped him. Hold such a one. Turn aside. Sit down here. And he turned aside, and he sat down. And so he, well, this word was a command given to turn aside, to take time, to stop what you are doing, right? Put this business, right, as a priority. Well, for Boaz, he saw it as a priority. And in the sight of God, it is the greatest priority, because this marriage is going to, you know, bring forth a line, a posterity, you know, that would end up with the Redeemer himself, the Redeemer of all Redeemer, being born. And so for Boaz, a man of God, well, he understood that priority. And so he stopped the man. And, you know, you see here that this man was stopped, but his name was not given. Right? There was no mention of who he is till today. Right? But you see here how, you know, there is that discretion, as it were, on Boaz's part, right, to keep him from shame. Right? Because if he would not redeem, the procedure, all right, is that he has to take off his shoe. You know, the shoe was the contract. Okay, and if he doesn't want to redeem, do the work of the redemption, then he has to take off his shoe. That means he has to go about what, barefooted. You see? And it's a shameful thing walking about, you know, because, you know, he has chosen not to do the right thing to redeem, well, his brother's inheritance. Okay. And so you see here Boaz was very discreet. He called to the man. He knew that, you know, what needs to be done, and he spoke to the man. And he gathered 10 witnesses. You know, in the sight of 2 or 3 witnesses, God's law says a matter would be established. You need 2, you need 3 witnesses. But Boaz was very careful. He brought 10 witnesses, 10 elders of the city, 10 men who is able to vouch, men with a standing, right, in order that they may provide sufficient a witness to ensure that this transaction would be properly handled, and that it will be publicly done so that it is a clear testimony of righteousness. So he tells him, you know, he set 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. So, you know, he managed to gather them together, right, ask for their help, and he managed to gather this nearer kinsman. Okay. And so that begins the process. He said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land. So they have forfeited their land, right, when they uprooted and they left 10 years ago for Moab. But now they are back, and they want to redeem the land. This land belongs to our brother Elimelech, verse 3 tells us. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people, if thou would redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. And so, what he said was this, interesting, he tells them, he give them the land first. And he tell them, hey, you know, this land is yours, you know, something worthwhile for you. Then comes the sore part. Then Boaz said, verse 5, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Then this man suddenly, I want the land, but I don't want the responsibility. I don't want to bear that name. So, you know, this man's heart was exposed, right? So it was very wise of Boaz to have, you know, ask first the land before he asked, he put, you know, Ruth in the equation so that he knows why this man has rejected the proposal. Right? Later on, he'll reject. Okay, but by the way it is phrased, he could see and understand the heart. He could understand the motive, right? The intent. And that's important. And, you know, he was given the wisdom by God, right, to be able to see through and understand, right, why the man reject the transaction. He was not willing to make the commitment to take care of Ruth. He wanted the land, but he did not want the responsibility of doing so for the family of Elimelech, for the sake of Mahlon's posterity. It does not benefit him personally. And that's normal, right? The normal person would do that. Why would you want to do that? Because if you would make that redemption, you would have to marry Ruth, and the son that comes would be Mahlon's posterity, not yours. And if you have only one son, then, you know, there goes your inheritance and his inheritance. Your inheritance and, you know, the inheritance that in Mahlon's is Mahlon's. But if you don't have anybody coming after you, then, you know, your own inheritance, you know, would be given over to the Elimelech family. So it's a lose-lose deal, you know, in that sense. She was a Moabitess. She was somebody who, you know, the law has it, right, that, you know, you may not get back what you invest, right? So, you know, what is there for him? Okay, Ruth being a stranger, a widow, and, you know, somebody who is, you know, down and out in the society, would surely affect his reputation. And so he would certainly question, be put in question whether finally he would have the legal claim, right, of the land. So, you know, there is all these things, and Deuteronomy 23, 3 to 6 gives to us this thought, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever, because they met you not with bread, with water in the way, when ye came forth out of Egypt, because they hired thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pithor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee. because the Lord thy God loved thee, thou shalt not seek their peace, nor their prosperity all the days forever. Well, he was not concerned about Mahlon's name, but about his own gain. And this was where Boaz was different. It was a selfless act in this redemption. He did not stand to gain at all. It was a no-win deal for him. And so, you know, you see that he knew that it was like that, and yet, you know, he went ahead and in wisdom does so to ensure that, you know, this is done. Verse 7 and 8. Now, this was the manner in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And so, to reject his claim, the nearer kinsman had to pluck off his shoe for a testimony. And Boaz made sure that he had enough witnesses to seal this transaction. So as we mentioned, this shoe was like a contract. It was a binding symbol of the actual transaction and the transfer of rights. So if the owner would not surrender, then the shoe would be the contract and the proof that it is a valid transaction. And so, well, this is where we are. And that is the next thought that we are looking at, the Redeemer's worth. So he followed the procedure. And the second thing he did, right, was that he showed himself worthy. Verse 6. He says, I cannot redeem it for myself, the man said, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my rights to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. And so, you know, he did what he was supposed to do. Reject the proposer. And then Boaz was next in line. So Boaz said to the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that are Mahlon's and Chilion's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. See, it's very interesting how he came to be convinced and be convicted that it is the will of God for him to make this transaction, to marry Ruth, right, and to take out his own money in order to buy the land with the prospect that, you know, he's going to lose everything, all that he owned. Right? When, you know, a child comes out of this a marriage, it will not belong to him. It will belong to the Mahlon family. Right? So, you know, he understood the cost involved to him. And nevertheless, you know, he did this. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed of which the Lord gave thee of this young woman. Boaz was a worthy redeemer because he had a selfless purpose. Redemption for him was a costly process, and he put his wealth at stake for this redemption. In the same way, our Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, was willing to make the sacrifice for our redemption. The Apostle Paul said, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. For he hath made him sin to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." As we look at how Boaz did the work of redemption as the kinsman redeemer, it reminds us of how we, you know, were redeemed by our Lord. And, you know, we were in that bondage of sin. We were in Egypt. We were lost and undone. And the Lord, by his marvelous grace, brought us to his fold. It is indeed the great mercy of God that the transaction for our salvation was done on the cross at Calvary, where our Lord himself made that sacrifice. Boaz was a picture of that sacrifice, of what God did to send his son in order to be the Redeemer. And the picture was given of the earlier marriage that Jacob had with Rachel and Leah, whereby it brought forth a full house, right? 12 children. And of Perez, of the house of Perez, which Tamar is, you know, again, you know, again a shameful association, right? But out of it all came a good work, a good result, right? And Ruth was, you know, that Moabitess, right? That woman who really undeserving, right? An outcast to come, you know, before the presence of God's people and to have a part in the inheritance of God. It is indeed something impossible by the law of God. And as we look into our own lives, we too realize that, you know, it is really what love that God has given to us in order to save us, in order to bring us before him, to come before him, to be his child, and to be given the opportunity to be his witness as his children. That is really something very tremendous. And where we have been, right, lost and undone, to where we are, redeemed on the way to heaven, a great transaction has taken place. God has done it all for us, and we receive it freely by faith. It is simply by the grace of God that we can be saved. As we, you know, think of all this transaction that was done, we think of how God saved us, how we were lost. We were undone, we were in the world, but God intervened in our lives by some people that he bring in our lives to bring the gospel to us, I'm sure, you know, it must kindle some warm feelings, good thoughts. You know, God sent someone into our lives that memorable day in time past when He and that person shared the gospel with us. And our spiritual eyes were open and we were saved. And from that day onwards, we did not look back. Because our eyes were now open to the truth, to the future that God has for us through the redeeming work of His Son. And we come, you know, with a heart of praise and thanksgiving to remember that happy day and not to forget for the rest of our lives what God had done for us. And then what? And then we are to go out there and be a blessing, be an ambassador for the Lord, to bring someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. The year is coming to an end. We are at the end of October. You know, has there been somebody that you have been trying to reach out to bring to church, to influence, to serve God, to influence, to do something for the Lord? You know, well, Boaz did that work. He was willing to sacrifice his time, his resources, in order to help out this unworthy woman, Ruth, to marry her, take her as his wife. And we are thankful to God, right, that He has done that good work. And it reminds us of the fruit of what God has done for our sanctification, for our redemption. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for Thy mercy and Thy grace upon us. Truly, Lord, we are unworthy. But it is only by Thy mercy and grace that Thou hast brought us to the fore. And Lord, help us to keep our hearts tender for Thee. Give us the spirit of Ruth. May Thou take away the Naomi spirit in our hearts, and give to us a tender heart of love and of compassion and of service and of sacrifice. Lord, we want to thank Thee, for indeed in this beautiful story, we see the good prospect of those who come under Thy wings. And Lord, we want to surrender ourselves to come under the protective care of Thy wings. And that is why, Lord, we have made an appointment with Thee to come to Thy house this evening to worship Thee, to seek help in times of need. May Thou bless each worshipper for Thy own glory and blessing. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.